Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? The world running on EVs and renewable energy? Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
89% of business leaders say AI is a top priority. But with AI tools popping up everywhere, how do you separate the helpful from the hype? The right choice is crucial, which is why teams at one-third of Fortune 500 companies use Grammarly. With over 15 years of experience building responsible, secure AI, Grammarly isn't just another AI communication assistant. It's how companies like yours increase productivity while keeping data protected and private. Designed to fit the needs of business, Grammarly is backed by a user-first privacy policy and industry-leading security credentials. This means you won't have to worry about the safety of your company information. Grammarly also emphasizes responsible AI, so your company can avoid harmful bias. See why 70,000 teams and 30 million people trust Grammarly at grammarly.com/enterprise. That's grammarly.com/enterprise. Grammarly, enterprise ready AI.
We're getting you ready for pro football's postseason.
Playoffs? We'll talk about playoffs.
This is a Wild Card Week edition of Danny and Dusty.
Injured? Don't trust just anyone to something so personal. Call George McCoy at Warren Allen. Online at warrenallen.com.
Danny and Dusty on 1080.
You kidding me? Playoffs?
The Fan.
Hour number two, Danny and Dusty with you on this Monday afternoon, Wild Card Week. We discussed the playoff matchups that we got coming up. Well, as teams punch your ticket to the playoffs, also teams start firing. It's Black Monday in the NFL. There were already three vacancies as Robert Saleh, Matt Eberflus, and Dennis Allen had all been fired during the regular season. At certain points, so Jets, Bears, and Saints, we all knew were going to be open. We had two more open up today. The Jacksonville Jaguars fired Doug Peterson.
That's not surprising.
What was is that they kept Trent Baalke.
That's a little weird, right?
Yeah.
How many coaches has he hired now?
This will be his sixth.
Okay. I read today that Trent Baalke has also had three of the six coaches that have been fired after their first year. There have been 10 NFL head coaches fired during or after their first season with a team in the last decade. Trent Baalke has hired three of those 10.
Not good, Bob.
He's the one that kept his job. And Doug Peterson, after two seasons, loses his. By the way, those coaches were Jim Tomsula, Chip Kelly, and Urban Meyer. Two of those in San Francisco, one in Jacksonville. And now it is after two seasons of Doug Peterson where what do you expect him to do, right? Trevor Lawrence gets hurt. They were on the cusp of the playoffs last year. Trevor Lawrence gets hurt. This comes from NFL on CBS. Trent Baalke has made 48 draft picks in 4 years. Six were first rounders. Two were number one overall picks. He's handed out $400 million in guaranteed money this offseason. His total record as GM is 25 and 43. That seems like the guy you should probably be firing. Not Doug Peterson, who has won a Super Bowl before, who his players like to play for Doug Peterson. I think that is a signal of the dysfunction of leadership in Jacksonville.
Balky is kind of a weird one for me, right? Because he has some big time hits in his draft history. He also has some big time whiffs.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking about the number one overall picks are Trevor Lawrence and Trevon Walker. The Walker one hurts because your next four picks, Aiden Hutchinson, probably was going to be Defensive Player of the Year, or at least in the conversation for Defensive Player of the Year. Derek Stingley Jr., who might be the best corner in football.
Yeah.
Sauce Gardner might be the best corner in football. Kevon Thibodeau, who is a very, 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 very good pass rusher, defensive lineman. That's tough.
Yeah, and you have to think, though, with Walker coming out of Georgia, the dominance of that Georgia defense, the numbers that he put up, and he shined on a defense that was full of dudes. But therein lies the big question, right? Is it the talent around him that is making him shine?
Mm-hmm.
Or is he truly that transcendent and that good, right? That anytime you have one of those Georgias or Alabamas,
sure,
that was always the question. The thing is that with Kirby Smart, whether he's at Bama or, you know, they were trying to figure out at Georgia, is this the same deal as at Alabama? It was, no, those guys are all really good, whether they're in college or in the NFL.
Hey, Trevon Walker's good. Don't get me wrong, guys. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is when you're picking number one, the guys that were picked after him are all better.
Yeah. And
the
draft hindsight is always really tough.
But that's the point. It's like,
but when you continue to miss is the issue.
Yes. And in the quarterback draft with Trevor Lawrence, they very clearly got the best quarterback in that draft.
Yeah, well, he was a slam dunk. Everybody would have ridiculed him, and he would have been fired for not taking Trevor Lawrence.
Exactly.
You take Trevor Lawrence.
And then again, who do they draft this year? Brian Robinson has been an absolute stud. Has been an absolute stud.
Yeah. Yeah.
Stud for them.
Really good.
So it's like,
in a loaded wide receiver draft, they got a really damn good one. Actually, what's crazy about that draft class, the rookie wide receivers
have all delivered.
Malik Nabers.
Even Adunze started to figure it out down the stretch, and I think that was more about the dysfunction of the Bears than anything else.
That receiver class may go down as a really stinking good one in the development of them. But Trent Baalke, he saves his job. Doug Peterson, he gets his walk-in papers. The New England Patriots fired Gerard Mayo after one season. And sometimes, you know, it is not knowing the assignment and adhering to the assignment. We say this all the time as it pertains to the Portland Trailblazers. Franchises tank, team players and coaches do not.
Indeed.
Gerard Mayo and the New England Patriots go out and they beat the Buffalo Bills yesterday. And a loss in that game hands them the number one overall pick in all of the leverage in the world. The win in that game lost Gerard Mayo that job. I think he was going to get fired regardless because there were games where they just looked like they were not prepared, not ready to play, and you have to show up and you have to be ready to play. And there were so many instances where they just did not. And I think they want to get an offensive coach in there because they know that they actually did hit with Drake May as a quarterback. And if you get an offensive coach in there that can maximize his talents, then you're going to be in a good spot. But losing the number one draft pick, that has consequences. Gerard Mayo's out.
Well, it doesn't always have consequences because Antonio Pierce is still there.
Yeah, there are some interesting ones that are lingering. So two firings today, Mayo being one, Peterson the other. Mm-hmm. The Raiders apparently are going to keep Antonio
They haven't
Antonio
come out and
Pierce.
Said it yet, but Antonio Pierce said, all of the noise is coming from the outside. I expect to be here.
He's waiting for the call from inside the building.
Yeah. Well, hopefully the call from inside the building says, time to go.
Jerry Jones is wishy-washy on Mike McCarthy.
He's also wishy-washy
in a lame duck year
on Cooper Rush.
Well,
cheapskate.
He should be.
Well, no, he didn't. He said that the reason that he didn't play him had nothing to do with the fact that he had a $200,000 bonus that he would have gotten.
Well,
then what's the reason, Jerry?
Well, he wasn't going to play well anyway. And they need to see what they got in Trey Lance. They traded assets for Trey Lance.
Yeah, you could have tried that, I don't know, 4 weeks ago.
The Giants are keeping both Joe Shane and Brian Daboll.
Surprised that Joe Shane is still employed by the New York Football Giants. After the Hard Knock stuff, after everything that has gone on, I mean, you have to feel like you're Teflon at that point.
This has got to be a do-or-die year. And I think that the Mara family, the Maras and Tishes know, if you don't have a quarterback, your ceiling is very low anyway.
Who is the one that made that choice?
I think that was a group
decision. Well, no, I mean,
on
Saquon and Jones.
Oh, Saquon. I don't think Daniel Jones was his, was he?
Yeah. Well, talk about in the room to making that decision between those two. Yeah.
Did he?
That's what we saw. That's what we saw. No, I'm talking about the contract extension.
Oh, the contract extension.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's him.
Yeah.
We talked about really that tough. Ad nauseum off air that day when we came in.
Mm-hmm.
And I was absolutely flabbergasted that they gave him that money. I just went, how? How can you do this? And then we got the Hard Knocks behind the scenes that made it 10 times worse.
I think what went into that made it so bad is the year that Saquon obviously is having this year, but how far off the cliff that Daniel Jones fell.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it was
he cratered.
He went from being functional to being non-playable and outright
the reverse
released.
Bryce Young.
He got outright released. And Joe Shane giving him that money, that hindsight, one of the worst. That's like a fireable offense in, I don't know, 30 of 32. Dallas is the only other one.
That's what I mean of like that transaction.
Yeah.
And the world got to see the thinking behind said transaction.
Yeah.
That makes it like, if your guy, let's say the Mars and Tishes and Joe Shane's just their guy, and you don't want the world to know what actually transpired, because that's what happens 99.99999% of the time. We don't see the thinking, the actual thinking behind the transaction flow.
Yeah.
We saw the thinking behind the transaction flow, and in real time, we went, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah, you got to play the quarterback though, right?
And then it got infinitely worse as Saquon is going to finish probably third in MVP balloting.
Yeah, probably. He probably will be. I think the right move, though, is to keep Brian Daboll. I don't think what's going on there is Brian Daboll's fault. And I think Daboll staying is not the worst thing in the world. But look, you want to talk about a make or break year. I think both those guys have it. The Colts also... keeping Shane Steichen and Chris Ballard as head coach and general manager, respectively. We can all say it. I think they have whiffed on Anthony Richardson.
Yeah.
They know it.
And
they went 8-9 this year.
We haven't really talked about this at all. The infighting with former Colt Pat McAfee and the Colts / front office players has been another little...
Wait, what has happened there?
Oh, did you not catch what happened this past week?
No.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, he's gone at him a few times for being not good. But he said the whole bleeping team, if I was general manager for a day, I'd find a way to transfer portal 70 of those mother bleepers.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. No, he backed him over with the truck.
That's weird.
Yeah.
He's like Mr. Colt.
Yeah. And he's had Ballard on his show a bunch. It was like, oh, I mean, it's Jim Irsay, so there's a level of dysfunction that's just kind of there. It's very Jerry Jones-esque.
Do we feel like McAfee is testing the waters with just what he can get away with and what he can say
100%.
Right now? But he's...
Brother, he got $100 million guaranteed from, was it DraftKings?
Yeah.
FanDuel, one of them.
Yeah, DraftKings. Like, or FanDuel.
Well, either way, one of them paid him $120 million, and then... ESPN bought him out of that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's guaranteed. And then they gave him another $100 million.
Yeah.
That man is about as Teflon as it gets.
Yeah.
So he's just, I think that's a nice, segue for later as far as like, how tough are you in the media industry?
Yeah, because it's interesting to see kind of where I caught the backlash from the initial McAfee cast of ESPN, which I've watched some of those. I don't think they're great. They don't really. I'd rather get like those coaches mega casts were okay at times.
Yeah.
But then I guess the Rose Bowl, people were tuning into the McAfee cast of the Rose Bowl thinking it was the actual broadcast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because because they put it on ESPN2 to start.
Yeah.
But also, yeah, we were listening to it.
Buddy, you are in for it if you think that.
We watched that for most of the game, and then I mentioned this. I watched the game with a bunch of Duck alumni, and I'm sitting there kind of chuckling to myself over and over and over again because who's on the broadcast?
What, Herb Street?
Well, no, I mean,
or the McAfee cast?
AJ.
Oh yeah, AJ Hawk. Yeah, former Ohio State Buckeye.
Oh, so is Herbie. Herbie pockets his Buckeye stan-ness 90% of the time.
Yeah.
90% of the time. He planted the flag for Ryan Day the week before against Tennessee. My God.
Yes,
it was
he
disgusting.
Did.
But AJ doesn't hide it. I mean,
well, the Ryan Day thing is a little like, dude has won a lot of games.
Sure,
now he's
but
some
no other analyst is doing what Herb Street did in that moment.
No.
Hold on, let me take this game's got two minutes to go. Let me take the final 2 minutes and disregard the game and tell you why Ryan Day is the gift to college football.
I also saw, do you see the Friday night show, the Jason Kelce late night show that ESPN has?
Yeah, I saw that it happened. I did not watch it.
I caught a little bit of that. I caught a little bit of it. And I see where ESPN is going with this, where they, like, whether it's McAfee or Kelce, they're normalizing the fact that they can swear.
Yes.
And they're going to go ahead and roll with it a little bit.
Into it.
And they're testing those waters a ton.
I mean, they did on the ESPN2 broadcast.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I saw that.
There was one where, I believe it was AJ, said they're beating the bleep out of them.
Yep.
Like it was, it was beating the dog bleep out of them. That's what it was. And I went, that's what I kind of looked around the room like, anybody catch that? No? Okay.
Oh, man. All right. 503-864-6326. That is the Vancouver Ford text line. Five head coaching vacancies in the NFL. And I think, honestly, the surprising ones are the jobs that are staying. But there are a couple coordinator jobs that opened up, too. And one, after just 1 year up in Seattle. Danny Dusty on the Fan.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
This time of year, a good hoodie is absolutely essential. And the American Giant Classic Full Zip Hoodie is made to last a lifetime. With timeless style, heavyweight fleece, and durable details, you can depend on it for years to come. Snag the hoodie that will bring you comfort for life. The American Giant Classic Full Zip. And save 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com when you use code CLASSIC24 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, code CLASSIC24.
This is a Wild Card Week edition of Danny and Dusty.
Brought to you by George McCoy at WarrenAllen.com.
On 1080 The Fan.
Watch him become a god.
Seahawks fired Ryan Grubb as offensive coordinator today as part of the Black Monday firings go. Only 1 year up in Seattle for Grubb. That was a little bit of a surprise. I mean, the offense wasn't great, but at the same time, you thought that they would give him a little bit more of a runway to establish his system and his style of play.
Yeah, I'm definitely caught off guard by that in the sense of like this wasn't the Bears. They had the 14th best offense in the league. The drawback was they had the 28th best run game.
That ain't going to do it, boss.
But also, offensive line beat to hell, running backs beat to hell.
Yeah, their offensive line not good, especially on the interior, and that's got to be a big concern moving forward. I think that may just show that Mike McDonald and that defensive style that they play, they want to play complementary football. Look at Baltimore.
Yeah, where they came from.
I mean, they want to play complementary football, and that starts with running the football. And keeping your defense off the field, you're going to give yourself a better chance to win. And I think you just can look at the overall trends in football and the direction that things are going. Running the football is becoming more and more of a premium. And Seattle couldn't do it. And I think if McDonald is looking at it and saying, scheme-wise, it's not going to be one that thrives in the direction that the NFL is going and the way that winning football is going to be played, then maybe we should carve a different path and pull this ripcord before we go too far down the line. I also think DK Metcalf, in his frustrations over the course of the season, it plays a minuscule role in this. But the fact that, you know, you have the whole conversation amongst the fan base of, is it the quarterback or is it the receiver? That's the issue going on right now. And maybe a little bit of it is the play caller too, right?
It's certainly, I think
some part of all the parts.
But you take a look at, you know, you can go chicken to the egg. Is it more the running back makes the offensive line or the offensive line makes the running back? No, I'm a firm believer in it's the offensive line. You can put a lot of guys behind it, which, I mean, we've seen that time in, time out. You take a look at the Baltimore Ravens and what they have had. Even prior to Derrick Henry, they had the Gus Bus was successful back there. I mean, you just kind of go down the list of guys that they have back there. Why? Well, because they've had multiple Pro Bowl, All-Pro caliber offensive linemen over the years. The Eagles this year are going to give three. Both their tackles and their center are going to end up as All-Pros.
And I honestly believe this with Ben Johnson, the offensive coordinator of the Detroit Lions. Like, hey, beware of the fact that his offensive line is not just great. They're like historically great offensive line.
Yes.
He's got two anchor tackles. He's got one of the best and most respected centers in the NFL. You can get a hell of a lot done with those three guys on an offensive line. Everybody looks creative. Ben Johnson has a deep bag, and he is wildly creative, and I think that that's why this team is that good, right? Because he's doing it with Jared Goff. It's not like he's doing this with a plus, you know, quarterback back there. But I think the weapons that Ben Johnson has at his disposal, if he goes in, everybody's like, oh, the Bears just need to throw all the money. Do we know that it's going to work the way it is in Detroit right now? Well, yeah, he'll have a quarterback. Yeah. He'll have a couple of weapons that are young. But that offensive line is dreadful. Yes. And no coordinator has the touchdown play with a bad offensive line. No.
And we were talking about this going to the break because Mike McCarthy is the coach that the Lions have reached out to for permission to talk to or requested permission to talk to be
the
their,
Bears requested
I'm
permission.
I'm sorry. They keep getting the Lions. The Bears. Thank you. And I'm just sitting there going, why? I am 100% saying pay Ben Johnson. I am 100% saying throw the money at Ben Johnson. Because,
watch out now.
Look. Do they need the help on the offensive line? Yes, absolutely. It's a good thing they only won four games this year because they're going to have their pick of offensive line at the top of the draft.
Yeah, well, they will. I think what they're picking...
Was it eighth?
Tenth.
Tenth.
They're picking 10th overall. They may have to trade up, but that's going to be higher number one that I'm most intrigued on in the NFL. Is Bears head coach because of you have Caleb Williams, you have a front office that is seemingly committed to spending money if available. I think that is an interesting one. I also think, you know, the outside of my fandom of the team, the Patriots, because you have a young quarterback that is going to be good.
Mm-hmm.
Now you just need to put the pieces around him, get him a better offensive line, get him some weapons. It's not going to be a 1 year everything is better in New England. It's going to be multiple years.
Both those teams, the Bears
but you have a quarterback.
Yeah, the Bears and the Patriots are in the same boat of needing offensive line. And the first two mock drafts I have them looking at, both drafts have them both taking the exact same players. At pick number 4 for the Patriots, it's Kelvin Banks. Yeah. At pick number 10 for the Bears, it's Will Rudolph, the tackle from LSU.
Big old tackle.
Yeah, and they're absolute monster human beings. Oh. And it's like, yeah.
It's where it's going to start and finish, man.
Yeah, I think if you're talking about like the NFL draft and me months away and how this is all going to shape up, I think those two things, those two places, if they both stay there, if you're saying like where are they going to go, I think it's the most like throw a dart land on those two guys of anybody in this draft.
Yep. And that's a really tough spot for Seattle too, because they were good enough almost everywhere else to where they pick 18th. And I don't, with an interior offensive lineman, you're not going to get like you need left tackles, right? But you need to improve dramatically on the interior of your offensive line. And at 18th, you weren't bad enough to get your first pick, right? The pick of the litter of those interior offensive linemen. And that's unfortunate because the team was good enough to be in a spot where they're drafting middle late. Actually, they're very last of any of the non-playoff teams to in the draft selection at 18th overall.
The first couple of drafts I've looked at mock drafts had them taking Luther Burden, who was
wide receiver, Missouri.
Who was at one point in time like a top three-ish kind of guy coming into the season.
That's a weird move.
Mm-hmm.
See, DK. Let's trade DK for an interior offensive line.
I mean.
No, not going to happen.
No?
Mm-mm.
No?
Mm-mm.
Okay.
Mm-mm.
It's okay. The Athletic has the Raiders taking Drew Aller, which would be my own personal hellscape.
I'll get used to it, pal.
God, I would despise every bit of that.
I know you would, because your hate for Drew Aller is something special.
I think he's a perfectly fine college quarterback.
I don't think he's a top level.
I don't think he's an NFL
quarterback either.
I don't think he's an NFL quarterback.
He is.
Forget top level.
Daniel Jones 2.0.
I mean, Aiden O'Connell, who is, yeah, it's tough.
What do you mean, Aiden O'Connell? Where were you going with that? You'd rather have Aiden O'Connell?
Yeah.
I don't think you mean that.
Yeah,
I don't think you mean that at all.
And I don't want him.
Wait, are you saying the Raiders will take him at sixth?
No, they have them trading back here with the Bears.
So you're going to take him 10th?
Yeah. Yeah. This, like I said, this is my own personal hellscape.
Yeah. What's going to be even better is that, like, you are going to be so against this pick, and then he becomes like a Pro Bowl quarterback, and you're going to be like, still not the guy.
Look, if he does, I'll reverse course and just say I had it wrong. He would be a bigger, like, oh my God thing than the way I viewed Jason Tatum coming out of college.
Oh, did you see the Canadian slinger, Curtis Rourke? Do you see?
Playing without an ACL.
Yeah, he tore his ACL at the beginning of the year, according to his agent. How about that?
According to his agent.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't think that you can lie about that one. Can you?
I mean,
he's going to have to get surgery on it, yeah. And that's why they're signaling this.
Because he's going to go in the draft.
Yeah, but that's crazy.
Mm-hmm. Especially with how mobile he was.
Golly. See, is he
like Dennis Smith Jr.?
Mm.
For those that don't know, Dennis Smith Jr. is actually one of, I think they said it was something like 8% of the population, if I remember right, is born with this. And that's having two ACLs.
Oh, a little backup plan.
Yes, and you...
Well, that's great.
It does not show up on an MRI. You can only discover it during surgery.
How?
So apparently it's like underlying.
Huh.
So.
Crazy.
Yeah. But maybe that's Curtis Rourke. I was playing with us. Maybe he's one of those guys that has a second ACL.
Well, okay. Well, what's your Christian Watson towards ACL? What's his excuse? Oh, he plays receiver, not quarterback.
Yeah. Also, he's.
That sucks.
His was completely non-contact and he fell over. He's cooked.
Hate that for him.
That sucks. He shouldn't have been playing.
I hate that
for him. I understand why he did, but. He very clearly shouldn't have been playing.
Mm. Wait, why? Why shouldn't he have been playing?
Because he went into the game with the knee injury.
Yeah. Well, if it's going to go, it's going to go. So yeah. It either would have happened now or happen...
Next week.
Next week in Philadelphia. So he did it at home.
He went out on his shield.
Yeah.
Like I said, I get it, but I, you know.
Yeah.
They did the imaging. They knew what state it was in.
Yeah, they knew he was going to go.
When it goes on, like, a non-contact route, you know, it is what it is.
Well, it's most ACLs.
Yeah. Well, it's true. Well, speaking of going when it goes, debated whether or not to go down this path, but, boy, it's a doozy.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. The shenanigans that were going on at the Fox Sports studio. We will dive into that for our very, very, very worst day on the web. But first, it's a big kahuna with the Sports Center update.
Hamburgers, the cornerstone of any nutritious breakfast.
This is a Wild Card Week edition of Danny and Dusty.
Brought to you by George McCoy at WarrenAllen.com.
On 1080 The Fan. It's time for today's worst day on the web. With Danny and Dusty on Odyssey and 1080 The Fan.
Oh, really? That sucks.
Shouts to everybody on the Vancouver Ford text line who is asking, are you guys going to talk about this? I debated not talking about it because I don't want to get sued.
Yeah, no.
So this is, let's preface this with everything. Everything that is going to be stated is allegedly.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy, man.
Allegedly, allegedly, allegedly. And boy, is it allegedly up and down. So unless you were under a rock or just missed this yesterday, a lawsuit, a 43-page lawsuit dropped that pretty much wrapped up everybody at Fox Sports Studios in it in one way or another between the time periods of 2016 and 2022.
Yeah, it's wild.
The main headline grabber is a lawsuit that accuses Skip Bayless, allegedly, of trying to pressure a hairstylist into a sexual relationship.
Yeah, this is where, like, these lawsuits pop up often, right? Unfortunately, we see these sorts of lawsuits happen all of the time. And
both insane and frivolous.
Yeah.
I'm separating the two. Some are insane because they're true. Some are insane because they are frivolous.
Yeah, and they're unfounded. Yes. And that's like the whole thing about all of this that you need to, the overarching thing here is, one, none of this is criminal.
Nope.
Right?
Well,
and as of right now, nothing is criminal.
It's a civil suit.
And it is all civil. And we don't know what actually happened here, and this is why it's all allegedly that happened, but the details that are coming out are
pretty specific.
I mean, somebody kept a
notebook.
It paints a picture of a culture at Fox Sports that's out of control. Yeah. From top to bottom, really is what it comes down to, because this is a hairstylist that is alleging, you know, one of their top talents offered a substantial amount of money.
$1.5 million.
For sex. And that is, first of all, that's the headline grabber right there that is capturing all the headlines. But then it goes into detail about, you know, alleging executives groping her and other talent on, you know, the network telling her to get over it and get used to it. You know, I think it was get over it. It was the term that was told to this hairstylist. And you're going just down the line and going, oh my gosh, how many names are they going to be naming in this lawsuit? And that's why it is the big allegedly, because you sit there and you look at it and you go, how in the world can all of this happen? And this is a person that also worked at the company for 12 years.
Yeah. And she worked
12 years and is alleging all of this stuff that day one, most people go, deuces, I'm out. I'm not doing this anymore. But stuck around for, you know, several years after all of this started, which is also one of those things that you go, oh my gosh, that is crazy that you would stick around for this long, and there's going to be a lot more that's going to be coming out about why.
Yeah, and also implicated in this was a host of Undisputed with Skip Bayless, and that's Joy Taylor, who that is the one who was accused of telling plaintiff in this, Nujin Faraji, to get over it when an executive allegedly groped her at a party. That executive, allegedly, Charlie Dixon, who is basically their chief talent person. There's also a multi-page breakout of, again, allegedly, Joy Taylor and Charlie Dixon having a relationship that was sexual in nature that brought her from a part-time radio host in Miami and bartender and suddenly placed her center between Shannon Sharp and Skip Bayless. So you can, again, allegedly understand pointing at there.
Even that is, one,
not illegal.
Joy Taylor is talented. Two, she didn't go just straight from bartending to that role, because she was on with The Herd and Colin Cowherd.
She was a part-time,
as the sidekick there. And, you know, that is like a lot of the things that, you know, Joy Taylor could be looking at is like, no, you take the sexual in nature stuff out of it. I also worked my way up from local radio to a smaller role on a national show, and then went from the smaller role in a national show to a prominent role in a national show. That is more standard to how you work your way up in the industry. Also, it's not like she came off of the street where she's Jason Taylor's sister. You know,
first ballot Hall of Famer.
Yeah. Don't know if many people know this when you watch TV, but she's also knockout gorgeous and can hold her own with the, and really, like, think of the show that she was on, sitting between those guys and having
between
to
Skip and Shannon
control that conversation. Yeah. Being able to hold your own in those conversations isn't for somebody who doesn't have a skill set. She is skilled.
Sure.
Right. And so that's why, you know, when you look at these lawsuits and you're like, allegedly, you know, she slept her way to the top. All right, well, let's take a step back and look at what she has done, because I thought she was great when she was on with The Herd, right? Like, that's why you have to parse through all these things
It's a 43-page lawsuit. There's a lot
flung at the wall here.
And there's, again, allegedly that her and Emmanuel Acho had a relationship, and Acho has gone and deleted some tweets.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. And it was like, well, why is that anybody's business? And, well, it's like, well, the presentation of power structure and all those kind of things that go behind it. And again, I will just say this. You and I have been in this industry for a long time, and we're not immune to any part of this, whether it's the executive actions that are, again, allegedly, whether it's the host actions that are the alleged, whether it's the underling in Joy Taylor, again, alleged.
Yep.
None of this is new, unfounded, uncommon. We've seen it, heard it, discussed it.
No. And she says in the lawsuit that, you know, one of the reasons why she didn't come forward with it is because, like, she talked to a coworker and they're like, well, they protect the powerful people in this company. And Skip Bayless, who she's alleging offered $1.5 million for sex, pretty powerful man, you know? This is wild, though, to see one of the every time. And that's the thing that sucks is that we see these so often, right? We see these so often. And it's like, how in the world is this continuing to happen? Like, what are any of these people thinking? But when it's ingrained, like, in a culture of a workplace, then that's what she's alleging in this lawsuit. From top to bottom, it is part of the culture there, and that's how it permeates and continues to happen time and time again.
Well, and guys like Skip Bayless, like that too, they're not used to hearing the word no.
Yeah.
That's a big part of it.
Yeah. Allegedly.
Allegedly.
Try again, lawyers. Try again.
Well, there's a lot of things being alleged in these 43 pages.
Yeah, no. Again, if you're a true sicko and you want to dive into it, go to Twitter. You can find the lawsuit. You can find every single page. And I skimmed it last night. And look, the group chats are going crazy right now. I mean, you start hearing once the cat kind of gets out of the bag, alleged or otherwise, people in the industry start talking.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, well, here's this. You know, there was stuff that happened, you know, 10 years ago at ESPN between certain people that, again, if you want to dive into that.
Remember the ESPN book, the book that came out? Yeah, that was a big deal like a decade ago, right?
Yeah, and I mean, you know, there was leaks of photos of people that came out, and it was like, yeah, those things, and you start hearing about this, that, or the other, and look, all I'm saying is...
Do you see Boomer Esiason this morning on his show? He's like, well, you can read up on it, but there's a reason why you're not seeing Skip Bayless on TV anymore.
It's like, nobody picked him up, right?
Yeah. Yep, they knew that this was coming.
Look, he knew this was coming. I'm telling you right now, not everybody knew this was coming because the way that people were reacting, which is, it is what it is. So, again, we acknowledge that here it is. There's a lot of things that we want to say and we have some fun with, but I don't want to get sued. I don't like it, but there you go. Dive into it. Have your fun. Speaking of having fun, quick little pivot, and I guess Joy Taylor's Miami related, so let's go to Miami real quick because Tyreek Hill joining the cavalcade of people wanting to not be in Miami. Danny and Dusty, Tenny the Fan.
This is a Wild Card Week edition of Danny and Dusty.
Brought to you by George McCoy at WarrenAllen.com.
On 1080 The Fan.
Last week you were out. You weren't here Friday for the exodus that has become the Miami Heat and Jimmy Butler. Having my fun there.
No way. You taking victory laps over around Miami?
Definitely didn't see this coming.
No way.
Definitely didn't mention this at all once last year.
No way.
Go ahead and circle back next year when Jimmy Butler leaves you. Bye. Tyreek Hill joining Jimmy Butler in protesting in Miami. And, well, they talked to old Tyreek Hill after the game, and he didn't mince words.
This is my first time I haven't been in the playoffs, man. So, I mean, for me, like I said, man, I just got to do what's best for me and my family, dog. If that's here or if that's wherever the case may be, man, I'm finna open that door for myself, dog. As I'm opening the door, like I'm out, bro. You know, so it was great playing here, but... You know, at the end of the day, bro, I got to do what's best for, you know, for my career and, you know, what's best. Because I'm too much of a competitor to be, you know, just
does that mean
just
you're
out
about,
there.
Mean you thinking about leaving
him? If it is, hey.
That's interesting. Real quick, Jimmy Butler has a $52 million option year on his deal with the Miami Heat. Mm-hmm. Tyreek Hill has 2 years remaining on his deal with the Miami Dolphins, which, again, interesting that he's opening the door considering he's under contract for 2 more years.
Well, yeah, and this is the thing that, for Miami, he may say this, but Miami may just go, yeah, tough, because if the Dolphins trade Tyreek Hill before March 15th, the new team will have to acquire $28.65 million guaranteed for this year, $36 million non-guaranteed in 2026, and the Dolphins would have to eat $28.3 million in dead cap next year. They would only save $400,000 if they traded him. He has a $1 million roster bonus coming up on March 14th, which is why you put that in there. This makes it hairy for them to trade him because their next out on the contract isn't until next season.
So the only way you trade him is for like a second and a fourth. Otherwise, you just keep him because of the cap hit.
I mean, well, I don't know where do you get second and fourth. I don't understand.
I'm going for like where he would kind of fit into like what kind of trade you could get for him.
Oh.
Like value-wise.
I have no idea what... Like NFL trades, guys get sent for a seventh-round pick. You're like, how? Why? Yeah. What? But that would make
second to fourth, second
sense?
To fifth, something like that.
That would make sense.
Nobody's giving up a first. It's just that's not a thing that happens.
Not in the NFL. No. And I don't know if he's worth a second anymore, to be quite honest.
Interesting.
Well, he's 30.
Yeah, no,
he's a speed receiver that is 30 years old, and there's going to be a time where it falls
off
the cliff.
Father Time snaps those feet real quick.
And so you have big bonuses that are going to be in play. He's got options on his deal, like you said, that are going to make this really tough. And for Tyreek Hill already to be huffing and puffing that he wants out, I don't know what this says about also Tua in the future that he sees with Tua. I mean, he's sitting there and probably looking at it, and this is the first time, as he said, he's missed the playoffs in his career. So that makes him, you know, uneasy and wants out. Not really the guy that you want to have on your side, by the way. If the first sign that you don't make the playoffs, now he's out and he wants to be on a different team. But I think it says more about where, as a franchise, the entire Miami Dolphins organization is heading. Because if you look at, they were one of 6 teams in the NFL this year that, do you know the 6 highest spending teams in the NFL? Only one of them made the playoffs.
Oh.
Made the playoffs.
Okay, so one of them is the Browns, right?
Made the playoffs, yeah.
Are the Giants on there?
Cash spending, nope.
Okay.
The 6 highest.
Okay, I knew the Browns were there because of the cash spending, because yep. Deshaun just
they are number
makes them
2
be there. So didn't make the playoffs. Who else spent a ton of money in Jags?
Jags are fourth.
God, who's number one?
Oh, it's easy. They just spend money, and we always go, where are they finding the money to do this?
Oh, Niners.
Yep, San Francisco 49ers.
Yeah. I was thinking of bad teams, yeah, but it would be the other way around.
They are bad. They are 6-11.
God, who else didn't make the playoffs that spent money?
Well, Miami's in there because we said
that.
Oh,
that's true.
And then you're missing one.
Saints?
Nope. Same division. It's the Falcons.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so the 49ers, Browns went 1-2. The Eagles were third. Money well spent.
Yeah.
Jags, Dolphins, Falcons go 4-5-6.
How the hell were the Saints with their cap hell? How are they not in that list?
That was cash spending, not cap.
Okay, yeah. Okay, that makes sense.
Because that's the big difference.
That's next year.
if you take it down a little bit more, I mean, Detroit was 7th, Kansas City 8th, Houston was 9th.
You want to be at the top, but not the top.
And then Chicago was 10th.
Yeah.
So of those 10, 6 of the 10 didn't even make the playoffs. And that's where, you know, when you said earlier, like draft and develop as opposed to, you know, build through free agency, a lot of those teams went through the free agency route. And that is where you get just absolutely kicked in the groin over and over, like again, America's funniest home video.
And I'm with you there. I'm not saying you should build through free agency. I'm just saying
you can.
The Vikings very clearly showed that you can.
Well, in them being in the top 10 shows that, no, they do a lot of draft and develop too, because they got guys that are on the cheap because that's total cash spending in 2024. They're doing it largely on the margins. And when one guy goes, like, look, the swap that they made for edge rushers with, you know, Greenlaw. One goes out, one comes in. You do the little swipsy swapsies with Houston, and you get a guy at a little bit better value.
Not too shabby.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's a fun little exercise to kind of take a step back and deconstruct, which I think is a good place to start hour number three with. You were down on the field for the Rose Bowl, and this is your first time back on the air. So let's go ahead and dive back into the game for the Ducks and Buckeyes.
Nelly.
But also kind of take a holistic look of what the season was for the Oregon Ducks this season. Coming up in hour number three on Danny Dusty, Danny the Fan.